The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yeah, David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions with us in line. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to all the listeners.
No, isn't it remarkable? People telling me last night that they were going home to put on the fire because it's still cold.
And Jerry, that's not unique to just one house. I think a lot of houses felt that last night, my own included. Put on the fire, or indeed press boost on the heating to get the heating temperature back up a bit. But I think if you look at the weather and look at the reports and the average temperatures, there has been a report there about June being, I suppose, uncontrollably cold, I suppose, is the answer, Jerry, because, you know, we've such varied temperatures throughout the day, from 14 degrees, 15 degrees, and circumstances there the week before last week, the sunscreen, this week we've got the jackets. You know, it's Irish weather, but it's also this time of year. And I suppose, you know, selfishly, I always keep saying to people, if you have the right controls, it's easy to have the right temperatures. So, you know, I mentioned press the boost function, Jerry. You know, if you can boost your temperature in your house for an hour, but if it's temperature controlled, that it never drops below minimum temperature, it's going to be economical to do so, and it's going to be cheap to do so. But look, it's unfortunate. It is something that has to happen, you know, and I suppose this is where smart controls all
come into it.
Whatever the heating is. And of course, Jerry, it's brilliant and it's fantastic. We're all selfish in our own right in that way to light the fire, and it's great. But I suppose how long before the fire will give the temperature to the room, to the house, to the back boiler? How long before, you know, you get that effect of the heat within the house? Of course, it will stay in once it's generated. So I suppose in some circumstances, you know, not just environmentally, but consciously, I suppose, about the cost of something, it can be something that people should check into. And of course, you know, there is government grants, SEI grants available for doing it. So heating controls this time of year, why is the heat doctor talking about heat? It's kind of one of those questions, Jerry, isn't it?
It is. We've had the warmest and one of the warmest and wettest springs on record. And I'd say when it comes to what Met Aaron will be saying in their climate statement later on, they'll probably say it's one of the coldest Junes on record. It certainly feels that way as well. So that's all to be counted for. We've queries to get to, David. I'll get to one here. It says, caller wants to install a stair of stairs with an insulated trap door to the attic. Is a 24-inch opening to the attic sufficient in case the two water tanks in the attic need to be replaced? Or would it suggest a larger opening to facilitate this? What would the sufficient opening size of the attic be for a future replacement of the water tanks? Now, I'd imagine this is supposing that you wouldn't be in a situation where you would break up or cut up the water tanks in the attic. Or what do you think, David?
Yeah, so I suppose there's a lot of things to consider here. And look, yeah, Styra is a great manufacturer of folding attic stairs. There is other makes and models out there on the market that carry the same U-value for insulation and the same insulation values. But typically speaking, I suppose, for the opening hatch for any of these loft access stairs, you know, the loft access stairs itself is constructed in the width and length for the stairs to be safe when it opens down for you to, you know, ingress and egress from the attic. So I suppose the tanks don't form a part of that thought process at the stage of the manufacture of the attic stairs, or I suppose the install of it. But fair play to this listener, they are thinking ahead, and they're thinking, I suppose, of what happens in the future if there's an issue with a tank and things like that. So I suppose, you know, it may be an opportunity to assess what age the tanks are in that attic specifically, and you know, what condition they're in. But I guess, Jerry, you know, there's a lot of situations where these tanks may not need to be replaced in their lifetime, and I suppose an attic stairs typically would be big enough in most circumstances, bar extremes, for any tanks to be installed in attics. And the more modern, newer insulated tanks and things like that, there's different ways of pressurizing systems. These tanks are designed in order to fit into this area. But I suppose equally, if you talk to your suppliers, you know, and tell them what size tank you want to put into an attic, if you have an attic stairs there, then there's a tank to suit that process. And I suppose, look, just as I could mention there, Jerry, this morning there's a build and trade breakfast event in Boyles this morning until 12 o'clock. And I know there's a supplier there that provides attic access stairs, Facro, they'd be worth talking to. And I know there's people there that will be able to give you that information, as well as the trusted people behind the counter that I keep mentioning. But anyway,
you're not going to be stuck. You're not going to be stuck with the water tank up there. There are ways around it, and it doesn't always involve having to have a massive opening into your attic and perhaps maybe heat loss, depending on what it looks at.
But I suppose the new types are designed, I suppose, Gerry, in order to reduce that heat loss. And I suppose the more insulated you can get, the more airtight sealed you can get. I suppose if you think about an attic space where we're installing 12 inches, that's 300 mil of wool in order to retain a certain U-value heat retention within a house. All of a sudden now we have an attic stairs where we might have only maybe 50 mil between the attic space and the living space underneath it. It's vitally important that that is insulated. And most of the higher grade attic stairs hatches are insulated, so I would aim for that. And I suppose, look, get the Boyles, have a chat with them. They'll definitely be able to give you a solution. But I think good thinking about the tank in the future. But I know that there is a solution that will work, that a tank will fit through the stairs that they put in.
The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today, brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglin, the home of quality.
Yeah, we're talking with David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions, and there is a couple of more to get to, David. Hi, Gerry. Can you ask David, I have an oil boiler and a solid fuel stove in my house, and last week, the plastic pipes from my stove melted and flooded my kitchen. What do you recommend I should do here? Asked Darren.
Well, good morning, Darren, and sorry about your troubles on this one. That's a bit unfortunate that this has happened. Obviously, there's been a failure on some part of the mechanical workings of the system, because as we all know, in houses, oil boilers or any type of boiler or heat source can work in harmony with a back boiler. But, you know, in this circumstance, obviously, if it was plastic pipes, Gerry, that went to the back of the stove, and if that's what Darren is referring to, that they were close to the stove, that's not what should be in place. Obviously, the plastic pipes will not take the temperature that will come from the stove, so I would suggest that's not something that should have happened. If they're further away from the stove and they've melted due to the temperature of the water, then there could be a mechanical failure on a pump that's designed to take the hot water away from the back boiler and to move it further away so that it, I suppose, cools as it goes through the pipework and gets to the radiators. Now, in regards to a solution, unfortunately for Darren here, I suppose, look, first and foremost, it's time to consider possibly moving to something newer. I don't know personally, again, this may be an insurance situation where they could talk to their insurance assessor for their home insurance. That would be something to talk about as well, possibly. That's completely separate to anyone else. That's between them and the insurance company. And I suppose lastly here, you know, if it's going to be replaced, it needs to be replaced by someone that's certified and qualified to do the job and do it properly. There's nothing wrong, Gerry, with having a back boiler and another heat source, preferably not the newer renewable heat pumps or air-to-air. But with the older type oil and gas boilers, a heat pump will work efficiently. Or sorry, a back boiler will work efficiently with these systems. It's very unfortunate this has happened, and I feel bad for Darren. But look, if he wants to contact us, we can more than happily assess the house and see if we can come up with a solution. Or indeed, I suppose, at this stage, look, it may be, as I said, a case of talking to the insurance company and seeing where things go from there.
Yeah, yeah, certainly need to be thinking about that in the context of what happened to him. Hi, David. I just got oil and the delivery man told me the cap in the tank was off, so some water might have gotten in. He has since put in the oil. The oil is airlocked also, but we can sort that out. Is there water? If there's water in the tank, will it cause any issues?
It certainly can. I suppose the
depends how much, I suppose, got in.
Exactly. Yeah, it depends how much. It depends. There's a lot of answers to that question. It can create a problem. This, unfortunately, is a common situation where the cover on the tank, because they can be quite difficult to get on and get off, can, I suppose, degrade over the years, and the treads can wear and the tank cover can be taken off or can, you know, fall off in some circumstances with high winds and exposed areas. And you do get a lot of water. You do get some water in. I would suggest, and again, it's not something that there would be a lot of water hopefully getting into. Again, it could be calculated by the amount of oil that went into the tank. But I suppose, look, for the best solution here, you know, I'd get the plumber out, have a chat with the plumber, and see if there's a way of checking what volume of water, if there's any in the tank. It may be very, very little and inconsequential, but also with the fall that's in the tank, that the oil comes to the distribution area and the water goes to the back area of the tank. So there's different ways that that can be solved for that homeowner. But look, talk to a plumber. Not something to majorly be considered about, but something to definitely check.
Yeah, certainly is. And that is the case with regards to that sort of thing. And it's a good idea to check it anyway, to check the seals in your tank, check that it's locked as well, you have a lock on it, and all of those sort of things.
Yeah, and I suppose, as well as that, Gerry, that homeowner mentioned that the boiler is airlocked. I think it brings it back to our first sentence with each other there earlier on about how we're running heating systems in June. You know, it's a common situation. You know, it's a problem when you're low on the oil. Let's leave it go till September, fill it up then. I was actually just checking this morning on the running prices of oils in different counties and things like that, and it varies from 980 to 1,000 euros for a full tank of oil in the month of June. So I suppose, look, it has dropped a lot from where it is, but I suppose it does give the urgency to homeowners to always maintain and check their oil levels, check their tanks, check their fittings that are leaving the tanks. This is a very, very, very environmentally harmful product if it leaks into the ground, or if the worst case scenario, it leaks in the house. We don't even want to think about that. But I suppose continued maintenance, continued upkeep. Yes, it's June. Yes, you're running the boiler for an hour in the evening to get 20 degrees into a house that should be 20 degrees. But I suppose, look, now's the time to consider the servicing. And part of the servicing is a checking of all the mechanical components, including the oil tank valves, the fire valves. You know, it's a very easy thing to make sure it's working properly. If you're serviced, if it's up to date now, it means you're going to have a fluid winter where it's going to work properly for you throughout the season, where it's in high demand and it's going to work properly.
Yeah, okay. Question for the heat doctor. Caller has a flat roof at the back of the house for many years. Would replacing the roof be covered by an SAAI scheme of any kind?
So there is schemes available for roof insulation, as we know, and there is insulation that's carried out. I suppose in this circumstance, it can form part of the overall insulation throughout the entire roof. It wouldn't be specific just to the area of the flat roof only. I suppose, again, here, there's different products on the market. I know Boyles in Clarendon have a product, and there's actually one of the representatives there this morning. Go along and have a chat with him, all waterproofing. It's a great product. It's a product that can be retrofitted to a lot of flat roofs. It can be insulated underneath it and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, I think for that listener, no is the direct answer. But there is solutions out there that are affordable without having to completely remove everything that's there and be invasive to the house. There's retrofit solutions that will work properly.
Yeah, that is important. It's like you can get it, like you said, you can get the things done, insulation, other aspects of it through the grant system, but it wouldn't be targeted specifically at a section of your home or a flat roof replacement or putting a pitch roof in for a flat roof or anything like that.
No, and I suppose, unfortunately, I jury, that's the situation with most of the grants that are available, which is not a bad thing, I suppose, because it brings your house up to a super efficient level where it's a whole house solution, not targeted specifically to one smaller area of the house, such as the flat roof. Or, you know, I suppose, you know, if you're upgrading your windows and doors, for example, through the one-stop shop schemes, you know, it's the whole house solution. It can't be just one window, one door, because you replaced them 3 or 4 years ago. You know, in circumstances, it has to be assessed. And if it's assessed correctly, it gives you the best outcome. And I suppose, look, that is the thing. A whole house solution equals a more economical running of your house in the future.
Yeah.
Environmentally, ecologically, everything. But I suppose, look, just to touch on the costs of that, Jerry, if I could for a second, because it's a common question we get asked. You know, we're the police and the police on the ground when we're telling people this information. But unfortunately, when we give them the figures, it's not reflective of the grant amounts, which could be a lot higher. But look, we're grateful for what they are. But I suppose in some circumstances, homeowners are forking out more than 60% of the overall cost from their own pocket. And I suppose, look, there is individual grants available now through the SEI at lower APR percentages that homeowners should check out. They can check it out on the SEI website.
They can get a loan to try and help out with that. Yeah,
absolutely. And look, I know exactly what someone's going to say to me. Well, why would I pay off a loan when my house is working the way it is and it's costing me so much per year? I mean, the calculations are there. But I think they should interrogate this a little bit more, because the calculations might prove to them that although paying a loan and paying an APR percentage interest, they still could have an overall saving in the running costs of the house at the end of the year. We know the energy sector is so volatile in regards to energy costs. And we all hear about electricity rates dropping and people are locked into contracts that are trying to get changed, etc., etc. You know, it still is, I suppose, if a thought process is there to carry out any upgrade works, assess the entire house. It goes back to the listener earlier about the attic stairs into their attic. What about the tanks up there? They forward thought to something that may create a problem in the future before they created a solution for what they want to do now. So I suppose if we can get that into people's heads, and then I'll have a look at the SCI website or our own website, and you'll get all the grants that are available there. But I suppose ultimately here, unfortunately for that homeowner, you know, direct grants for particular small areas don't